Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show, where we're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. So, pretty excited today. We're bringing on a new co-host. This gentleman I met recently out in California. We were out in San Diego at the Thrive Make Money Matter event. It was their second year. Still trying to digest everything that was absorbed at that event. And we're probably going to talk a little about this on the show today. But I met this gentleman thanks to some firefighting history of mine. And we really got to connect at a firefighter level. We'll probably dig into some of that because this guy has been in the fire world for a long time. But it turns out there's a whole lot more about this guy than what we even got a chance to talk about in California. Besides the fact we were just talking about adrenaline junkie stuff like dirt biking and skydiving and stuff. But turns out he's a two-time best-selling and award-winning author. He's definitely got an entrepreneurial streak in him because I love the fact that he's a founder of a company called Third Alarm Coffee and Tea. He's definitely impacting, I'm really excited to talk about more about how he's impacting firefighters affected by cancer. There's a lot of things tied together here, guys. He's also co-founder of a company called Life Code Consulting. He's creator of the Castle Band. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Well, obviously, yep, he'll probably correct me on that. But this gentleman has been in fire for 25 plus years. Last time I checked, according to my research, he's still a battalion chief. And anybody of you guys have been listening to past episodes, I was formerly a hotshot wildland firefighter. So I'm just stoked for us to kind of connect at a whole different level on this show today. So without further ado, let's welcome Richard Rocchini to the show.
Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Dude, thanks for making time to come on and be my co-host. I'm pretty excited and I'm definitely humbled by that. I appreciate it very, very much.
Well, thank you. And I'm just as humble and just as excited, man. You're a pretty extraordinary human being yourself. And so thank you.
Awesome, man. So we talked out at Thrive, obviously during our little intro here, just to kind of catch the audience up. This was what, not even 2 weeks ago now, right? Is it?
Just about 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
It's crazy. Time's flying. And I only wanted to connect with, somebody was walking around saying, hey man, you should check out this firepreneur guy. And I'm like, I think it's called a firefighterpreneur, which, that is now the new brand you're going with, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what the title I've been given because of my passion, you know, for the fire service, obviously, and then my passion as an entrepreneur and firefighterpreneur has kind of been the title given to me, and I'm running with it.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you've got a lot of different website domains out there. There's so many different brands, and I guess business components to your work, besides being an author and having the consulting business, but you've got thirdalarmcoffee.com, you got the castleband.com. Am I saying that right, by the way? Is it Castle?
You are.
Awesome. All right, nailed that one. Castleband.com. And then thanks to the firefighting thing, I'm loving how you wrap your branding around this. You've also clearly have a realty background and some leadership background, clearly being a battalion chief. and then there's your personal brand, richbrocchini.com. So is there going to be like a all-encompassing umbrella here to help us, our audience, kind of follow you? I mean, obviously, I'll put all this in the show notes. We have very, very detailed show notes so people can track you down and see everything that's going on and plug into what connects with them as a listener. But is this new richbrocchini.com, is that gonna be like the new umbrella?
Yeah, that's gonna be it. You know, basically my name, Rich Brocchini. And for me, in the personal development space and kind of the public world, it's been a little bit challenging for me to really start or wrap my head around putting my name out there and having a personal brand. I've been doing a lot of things, as you and I talked about, in areas of leadership and team building and self-awareness and those kinds of things for a long, long time, inside and outside the fire service. And just in the past year or so, I've really been able to sit in the power of a personal brand. So that's where richbrocchini.com comes from. And then, you know, obviously all my other companies fall under that. But respective to what I'm doing, I may just be focusing on, you know, if I'm in a group and I'm talking to certain people or a person, I may just tell them, hey, go check out firefighterrealtor.com and you can find your home there or sell your house there and get in contact with me and I can serve you that way. So it just kind of depends where I am. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the firefighterpreneur is just kind of a title. Yeah. And really my personal brand, richbrocchini.com, is where everything is going to live.
Cool. I love that. I mean, because I connected, like I'm the marketing guy. I love helping people develop their brand, especially the personal brand, because A lot of us talk about that nowadays in the entrepreneurial space. It's like you have a choice. You can build a brand, a mantra around what you're doing, or multiple brands. Or some people like, hey, man, if you've already got a great reputation and you have a great following and you want it to really tie back to your name, great. Start right from the get-go with your name. Me, for example, I'm building Live the Fuel. But obviously, with the success of Live the Fuel and other things that I'm working on, eventually my name will just follow suit. And it sounds kind of like what you kind of, that's kind of what happened with you here. You've basically been working on a lot of other businesses and other mantras in your life and finally realized, you know what, let's step it up. Let's bring, you know, Rich forward here and start leading the way behind your name.
That's exactly what happened is a few different things. My first thought of the whole richbrookian.com was I would like to be able to give somebody a card and just tell them, hey, take you know, a look on the web, my website if you want to get to know more about me, and let me hear about you. And I really was kind of tired of trying to explain to everybody what I do, because it just didn't feel right. It really feels odd for me to tell everybody, well, I do this, I do that, I do this, because I kind of just do. And it wasn't the best thing for all my businesses or what I was, you know, doing in my intent to impact the most. And so I realized I needed to make a personal brand, richbrookian.com, and tell people, hey, go check this out. And then I could focus on a conversation with somebody and focus on them and focus on what they're doing and what their needs are and their challenges. And that's kind of where I feel much better. And so it works for me also on a personal level to be able to connect with people at a deeper level so I can know more about them. So there's kind of twofold for the whole thought process behind it.
Well, and I love the fact when I met you, I'd already, I think we actually had already connected like through the Facebook group for the event, and I'd already started Facebook stalking you a little bit, which is how I found the Firefighterpreneur. And then it was funny because I met Cole Hatter, the host, the founder of Thrive, and we were hanging out, and he's like, oh man, have you met, oh, you used to be a firefighter too. He's like, oh, have you met Rich? I said, yeah, briefly. And then all of a sudden he's like bringing me over to fully introduce us. And we were hanging out that night. And it was interesting because you and I connected, not just from a business mindset, but also the firefighting mindset, but it was even more higher level than that. Because I thought that you've definitely, one thing I appreciated about you was clearly you've been in a leadership role for a long time. You have no problem just saying how it is and just helping us like kick some bullshit to the side. And I respected you for that because you and I all of a sudden started going down this conversation about, you know, life balance and having that self-confidence and trust and belief in who you are, what you bring to the table. And you and I briefly started talking about that right before we started this episode. And I think this is important to kind of really kick off with here because I talk a lot about health. I mean, we talk about business and lifestyle and it's all intertwined, but something that you brought to the forefront at Thrive, besides the fact that you're also a great person who has no problem asking questions and really taking the time to learn about people, that's something that I noticed right away. You're definitely a listener, and that's powerful because a lot of people don't. But one thing that stood out to me was you basically said, listen, we're all guilty of this. We are sometimes holding ourselves back from, I guess, living to our fullest capability. You want to dig into that a little bit more?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that we all have these limiting beliefs, and there's so much talk around limiting beliefs and mindset, and it's so true and it's so powerful at the same time. And I think that one of my gifts or my abilities is to help empower people in an immediate conversation without even knowing a deep background about somebody, because there's certain things that people say that we all can pick up on, and it's so fulfilling for me to be able to have a conversation with somebody that I can see their abilities and talents and skill sets and gifts, and they're not living in that power of who they can be and what they can share with the world. And so often, so many times in the world as humans, we don't tell people that the things they need to hear, whether they think it's good or bad or indifferent. And I don't mean talking poorly to somebody, because that's not the conversation you and I had, but it's about calling people forward, you know, not calling people out, but calling them forward to be their best and to live a life of fulfillment. And we all have self-doubt. We all play the mind games in our head, in our heart, in our soul for the things we really want to do. And I know people in my life that have triggered me to be a better person, you know, a better man, a better human, have been people that have called me forward, have been people to see right through some bullshit. And it's pretty empowering. And so I think if we all did that with each other, and I don't mean going around calling people out, I just mean having those conversations about asking questions. Why? Why is this? Why is this holding you back? Why don't you do this? How come you don't do this? What does that mean? And that was kind of our conversation you and I had. And too many times people want to be at a surface level and they don't want to listen, and they want to basically wait for their opportunity to talk. And I've just personally found in my life that my life has been super enriched by listening to people and going a little bit deeper in conversations and then asking people questions to help them figure out how to be powerful and what they're doing and where they want to go, or stop doing something and do something else they want to do and why they're doing things. And it creates deeper relationships and deeper connections as humans. And for me, it's super powerful, and I really enjoy that. And I think at the end of the day, we all enjoy that, and we don't take time to really do that. And the environment was set up with Thrive. That's kind of the environment at Thrive, and is to do that. And then you and I obviously had a connection. You know, you being a former hotshot, which I really respect that discipline in the fire service. And for people that don't know what a hotshot is, it's a pretty intense, one of the most actually intense fire positions in the entire fire service, the most dangerous, and the guys that are the most in shape and put their life on the line at the most, very respected position. So right away, I had a fundamental respect for you, and we were able to have the conversation, probably because of your background and my background. But I think you witnessed a couple other conversations we had with some other people. And I think at the end of the day, if we just live in that and we are who we are, people will like us, and the people that don't, that's okay, you know, in terms of not gravitating towards us or not really being able to, if it doesn't fit into their box of what they want to hang around, that's fine. You know, we just got to be who we are. So I think that was our conversation. Sharing that with everybody is just, don't be afraid to be who you are at the end of the day. And we always are. A lot of people are afraid to be who they are in front of family, in front of friends. And when you can just kind of be who you are, and then when people call you out on your bullshit, and you can think, God, man, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You become a stronger individual. You become a stronger human, and it's really powerful.
Well, we were talking that night. It was funny because it was after the Halloween party. It was getting late. We're down in the hotel lobby in that that bar area they had there, just hanging out. And everybody was just still. They didn't want to, you know, come off the high of just having a great day, powerful day. Actually, it was that day too. So it was like 2 days of powerful experiences at that event. And then you and I having our talk, and it was just interesting because, like, I am a very self-confident person. I'm very outgoing. I have no problem doing that. But even the best of us, which you and I ended up talking about, and I don't know if it's society or if it's just our own internal BS, but this is what we end up talking about. I was like, I'm a very confident dude. Like, I was proud to have served in that fire career for even if it was only 2 years. And I think I was downplaying it. And that's when you basically, like, I don't want to say went off on me, but you called me out on that. And you're like, dude, stop calling yourself an ex-firefighter. You're a former firefighter. And that was just, that stood out to me. That was very refreshing to hear, because sometimes I feel guilty because I didn't choose it as a life path, and I thought it might've worked. And then it just didn't click. I didn't feel that I was going to, you know, go forever. I just wanted that. It was a powerful 2 years, life-changing, no doubt about it. I was already considered the old guy on the crew anyway, because I didn't do it till I was in my 30s, and all the guys are calling me old. I'm like, dude, I'm only 32. Come on.
Yeah, the fact that you're doing that at 32 in that respective position is absolutely incredible. And it's interesting, yeah, because nothing to feel bad about. To feel great about serving for 2 years in one of those positions is absolutely incredible, and something to always talk about and live in. I mean, you literally risk your life for people to so they could live. I mean, it's a powerful thing, whether it's 1 day, 3 days, 2 years, 20 years. And that's a powerful thing. Our conversation was about respecting that, and it's okay to feel good about that. It's a great thing to feel good about that. And, you know, people respect that, and don't be afraid of that.
Well, and it was kind of funny because once I found out that you were an author after us meeting, and it was like, you have two books, Serving Without Selling, and then the other one is Fresh Reminder, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was hilarious because I'm like, well, that was a very fresh reminder. I haven't read that book yet, but I was like, that was right up in my face, very refreshing. I was like, huh, all right, I definitely got to get his books now. But I think this is important from this point we're discussing here, because whether or not you're a firefighter or, you know, for any kind of first responder, maybe you're just a person who does charity work from time to time, it's just giving more than what you technically have to give, right? You're making a choice to do something bigger than yourself, or helping an organization for yourself. And a lot of people say, oh, well, there's a little bit of selfishness in that all the time anyway. I'm like, okay, so who cares? At least you're doing something versus nothing.
Yeah, you know, the whole concept behind that for me is that serving others is serving self, and that's completely okay. When we serve others, like innately as humans, when we help other people, we feel good about ourselves, and that's why people do so many different things in terms of inspiring people, motivating, charity work, philanthropy, a life of service, et cetera, and so on. We help family members. We help our kids. It's because it makes us feel good about ourselves, and that's how we're kind of wired as humans, and it's pretty lame when people think that that's a bad thing to feel good about helping others. And it's a very powerful thing. And if more people did it, we'd probably have a stronger society in some areas.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And it cracks me up when I got people like, oh, well, how come you don't go to church? And I was like, well, I'm just not a church going guy. It doesn't mean I don't have faith or whatever you want to talk about on that. I mean, I don't really get into much religion conversation, but I said, when's the last time you stepped up and helped build a, you know, house for Habitat for Humanity, or like, you know, put in some actual sweat. So I get a little pushy on that when some people try and like criticize maybe some things I'm doing. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've done more charity hours in like 1 year than you've done in your entire life.
and it's not a competition.
It's not about being a competition.
Yeah, you know, one of my mentors told me, and I use this sometimes, that, you know, they say that an empty wagon makes the loudest noise, meaning that, like, when people talk a lot about certain things, they are empty in that respective area. Religion is a fascinating thing for me. I feel free to talk about religion or not, but I feel like in society sometimes we put too much emphasis on religion rather than God, or too much emphasis, you know, on religion rather than love. So it's a fascinating topic, and I respect everybody's opinion on that. But when people start preaching whatever it is, typically an empty wagon makes the loudest noise.
Well, and I'm old school. I'm like, you know what, dude? Let your actions sell who you are and how you wake up and how you step up every single day. You can have the best vocabulary in the world, but in the end, I'm gonna judge you by what you're doing. I mean, are you backing those words? Are your actions speaking louder? So that's, I look at that. Because I'm an action guy. So,
obviously, yeah, in all areas of your life. That's kind of the whole concept of what you're doing to empower people, and it totally makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I love where we're in this phase right here, because it's funny, because like a lot of my other co-hosts, we talk about health, nutrition, and recently I had Dr. Megan on. She's a psychologist, mind of the athlete. I love what they're doing to help people. Like, your mind is such an important piece here. And what we're talking about right here is exactly what we're talking about. This is about mental health. This is not just like, oh, dude, be confident that you used to be a former firefighter or what you're doing with your lifestyle. Like, no, this is much bigger picture than what you and I are talking about here. I'm sure this comes into a lot of play with a lot of the coaching and a lot of the public speaking you do with a lot of your corporate relationships too, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about being human, I call it, and being vulnerable, being open, and understanding that I believe it's important to work your strengths and hide your weaknesses, or illuminate things that you do that aren't necessarily great, or illuminate things that you make a mistake in, saying sorry, saying please, thank you. The basic fundamentals of just being a human go so far and can help you be an effective person, effective leader in all areas of your life. And I think that we lose that sometimes. And I think you nailed it. Like, there's a lot of times people can speak pretty savvy, and that's great, but what's next, you know, and where's the fulfillment? And there may be, there may not be, but at the end of the day, it's really about being congruent in who you are and knowing that it's about progress, not perfection. And I think we get caught up sometimes with all the things that we deal with in whatever respective space or industry or enterprise, that we think we have to be perfect, and or we can't say certain things or be yourself because somebody might think this or that. And when we realize that that's not, none of that is actually true, and we can fail, we can, or call feedback, or whatever you want to term failure, or we can make mistakes, and we don't have to be perfect. Once someone understands that, they begin to really thrive, and people really begin to respect what they're doing and support what they're doing in whatever area of life. And sometimes it's just hard for us as humans to understand that because of what we all see and we think. And so I dig the people that can help us, you know, think, feel, and act differently by being who we are. And I think that's kind of our conversation we were having at Thrive.
Well, yeah, I think it's about kind of exactly where you're going here. It's about people, helping people find a way to come into their own. And some people, like, hey, man, we're just good at fighting and we'll find it along the way. And other people, yeah, maybe they're looking for that coach or that guidance. And I hate to use the word life coach because there's so many life coaches out there now. I prefer to... There's other words we could be using. I'm not trying to bash on that profession. It's just, it's very muddied right now, and I'm very concerned for people on who they're hitching their wagon to. I think it's important to really evaluate those relationships and really see, okay, like we were just talking about, what are they putting behind the words? What are their actions? Or is it just a really powerful marketing campaign?
Yeah. Is it a great funnel and that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that space. And I feel comfortable talking about it. You know, the people don't, and they have to think, oh, I have to everybody like me. At the end of the day, there's just some people I think are kind of phony and taking people's money. I don't think it's cool. There's other people I think are amazing and doing great things and heart center and open and authentic. And that's the people I gravitate towards too. And the other folks, you know, there's some folks that are just really maybe not something I want to be part of. And, you know, and then there's folks that are trying, doing the best they can. And, you know, I respect those people too, but I'm with you. You know, there's people out there that shouldn't be doing some stuff.
Well, I gotta say though, Thrive was I'll go ahead and give it to this. It was a life changing event for me. I've been to a lot of events and I'm like, you know, number one, I've never been to an event that had 26 speakers or whatever our total final tally was, but there were so many powerful speakers. But I was like, you know, there was a few people that I follow their podcast, but I'm like, I wonder what they were like in real life. And just being able to be there in person, meeting them in person, actually talking to them on the side when they're not speaking, like, okay, these people are real people. And there was a lot of legitimate people there. They were not BSing you. I mean, these people are actually putting up the right actions behind their words. It was,
I would agree. Thrive's going to be around for a while. And Cole's done a really good job, and Cole and I have become friends, and he's a good guy, and he attracts those people, and everybody that was there that spoke, trainers, authors, facilitators, they were all great people. I would agree 100%. That's one of the beautiful things about that event. It's only its second year, and he has created that really, really healthy environment of solid people out there that they're actually are doing what they're teaching or talking about, you know, and those, the people that were on the stage doing all the stuff they did were really, really doing that openly. And they're great people, great facilitators and speakers. And I agree 100%. And it's interesting. I would agree. It's life changing. Even for me, it's life changing. I mean, I'm friends with some of those folks. And even for me, it created a big shift in me to go all in my speaking career and do some other things. And so yeah, and then I'm sure you've been to other events where you're kind of like, oh, man, maybe one or two people are pretty cool, and I gravitate, and everybody else, I'm not really sure, and then everybody here at this event is trying to sell me something, and yep. I don't really, you know, so, you know, it was none of that, and I think that's why the deep connections were made, like with you and other folks, and I know you'd made some deep connections with other people because the environment was created through those really good people.
Oh, it was, we were literally fired up. It was awesome. I mean, not to use part of my tagline, but I mean, yes, or even what you use for your branding, but I'm like, come on, man. Like, that was awesome. The energy was ridiculous. The consistency with 600 plus people, and even with how the advent closed out and how we all stepped up, helped PJ, you know, achieve his mission to build a school through Pencils of Promise. Like, I'm like, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's you crush it all weekend long with amazing speakers and amazing content and amazing relationships being built. Oh, and while we're at it, let's help this other guy, you know, rock out building a school. I mean, just
raised $28,000. That shows how the attendees, who the attendees are, what they're about, how they showed up, why they attended. And I agree that you don't find that at a lot of other events, and it's just contagious. That kind of stuff's contagious.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just, and also it's teaching. Cause again, part of the tagline for that event, make money matter. And I think this comes into some of the business coaching and the branding that I do with my clients and what you're doing with your coaching, your speaking and your circles of influence, whether it be like the firefighterrealtor.com, obviously real estate is part of your background, but also you being a fire chief, and you also having your speaking and your coaching to the, cause like serving without selling, that book. And again, I haven't had to read the whole thing yet because we literally just met. But that's really targeted towards, I guess, more businessy, right? Would you say that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely entrepreneurs. Yeah. I mean, it's about the whole concept of if you serve, you don't have to sell and don't, that kind of stuff.
And that's what I'm talking about. This is that big picture thinking. I mean, I think it's so easy for us to get caught up into the day in and day out of, oh, I got to build business. I got to make sales. Oh, where's my marketing campaigns? And it's funny because somebody tracked down my phone number on the internet, one of my backup phone numbers for livethefuel.com, which I got to go on GoDaddy and change that. But literally 2 hours ago was like, called me three different times. Some company from San Diego saw that Grant was speaking there, and he, you know, I had him tagged in my social media feeds, and he, you know, he's like, I just want to know how we can help you and grow what you're doing. And I'm like, do you even know what I'm doing? And he's like, well, yeah. He's like, I don't have the fuel. I love what you're doing. I'm like, no. Right now, in 30 seconds, tell me what I'm doing. And he couldn't answer me. So I was like, all right, so how are you supposed to serve me, let alone sell me on your services? I was like, you found my website, you found my content, which is cool. That means what I'm doing is working. But you're trying to sell me on your services. And you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to help you grow your brand on Instagram. And I'm like, okay, but how am I growing my brand? I mean, you don't know what I'm doing, dude. I was like, peace.
I think those same people contacted me. I'm like, who are you guys? Like,
was it a company by the name of Limelight something?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So they're fishing the whole attendee list.
Something. I was like, who are you?
I was like, I don't know. Who are you? I was like, why are you calling me? But that's my to your point of your book there. I mean, by the way, great job on the title because that's the big picture, dude. Like, I'm a sales and marketing professional myself, years in that, and I do it for my clients now. And it's like, guys, there is a bigger picture here. And if you lead with service, I truly think from a big picture scheme of things here, the business will follow. And again, maybe I'm shortcutting your book. I don't know.
No, that's it. That's the whole concept. And we've experienced this kind of stuff in our coffee company too. We set up the coffee company with that whole model of serving, and we've made so many mistakes, and we've corrected just by over serving, you know, some folks. And then we've been in situations where we made no mistakes and went above and beyond on a service element and just blew people away.
Well, let's dive into that really quick, because I mean, this kind of balances some business lifestyle stuff clearly. So you're founder CEO of Third Alarm Coffee and Tea. Now, did you always, because something we took away from this event at Thrive was the whole make money matter, try and build businesses that also balance purpose, which I love that. And I know that what you're doing with that company is doing something to go beyond profit. You're helping firefighters affected by cancer. Is that how you founded the coffee company, or is that something you added in later?
No, that's the whole concept of the coffee company. So
cool.
I'm in a position in life where I don't need the coffee company. I'm very fortunate, and we live my family lives a great lifestyle, and Thrive had nothing to do with my coffee company giving back.
Oh, cool. This was already rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, the coffee company is 7 years old. Thrive's only been around 2 years.
Yeah,
and so I've started the company that, with the whole mindset of, if I'm going to do this, I have to give something back to my profession that's been so good to me. And so the long story really short is we connected with Firefighter Cancer Support Network, who's a nationwide organization, and I think they're in 17 states now, pretty strongly, and they help firefighters affected by cancer with mentorship and white papers and research and all kinds of really cool stuff. And it made sense. Yeah, it made sense because not many people know this, but 1 in 3 firefighters will be diagnosed with cancer. And obviously, that's my profession. I've been close to it. People's husbands, wives, family members, our family members. And so it's something that resonated, and it just made sense for us to be connected with the organization. I like the people who run it. I like what they're about, like how professional they are, like what they do. And so for me, it made sense. That was the whole concept to create a company and give something back to my profession. So it wasn't any kind of thing where I thought, oh my goodness, this is what we should do, and then, you know, we can use this for marketing. In fact, not only until about 2 years ago, I never even said anything about giving, and not until about a year ago did I actually buy or get new coffee bags made with the whole story and information about how we give back, the FCSN, because it just was tough for me to want to go out there and tell people this is what we do, because it's very, very personal for me. And so
let's pause there for a second. Is that something kind of going back to what you and I were talking about, which is, hey man, if that's your brand and that's what it's all about, like, it's okay to live fully in that. Is that like a lesson that you learned?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Learn this every day. So a couple of years ago, you know, I had some people that, some potential clients that are now clients. They're like, "What, you do what? That's amazing. That's great. How come it doesn't say that anymore on your website? This is my old website and old information." And I said, you know, this is why. There's a lot of people out there that are saying they're giving this and giving that, and they're not pure. And it goes 90% dad, all these different things.
But you were.
So, Yeah. And so I said, you know, I said, okay. And so I listened, you know, I said, it's time to really showcase what our organization or what our company is about and how we're helping, because we are, we're literally helping. And so it kind of made me realize that. And so we talk about it now. We talk about it on our website and our videos. It's on our bags. It's in our brochures that we give out to potential clients. It's in all the stuff that we do now.
So you fully embraced it now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just our story. It's not even a marketing piece. It's just our story. It's just the reality of what we do and what we've been doing and how we started. And organizations really love it, actually. And I had no clue about this. And what it turned into, it turned out to be an opportunity for organizations to fill a CSR commitment, meaning a corporate social responsibility commitment. And mm-hmm. so, which is really, really important now, because a lot of people in society really want to champion brands that actually support some type of cause in the community. And
especially the new millennial generation. That's been a lot of studies on us already. And this new next generation, they want to do work with purpose, or they want to make sure there's meaning behind what they're doing, is what I'm reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 75% of millennials will switch from one brand to another if they find out the other brand is doing something in the community. So it's very real and pure. And, you know, I would take it a further. It's a whole other conversation for me. And I would even take it further and say, just everybody right now today in society will switch, will applaud an organization, a brand, or a company for supporting some type of community cause. Not even a baby boomer or millennial or anybody. This just to people in general of all ages, because of where we are in society. And
that's
how
exciting.
Yes, and I believe it's exciting. I believe it to be true, not just one generation. And I have these conversations because I have them. A lot of these people that make some of these decisions, they're of ages of you know, younger and older, and they all are interested and excited about being part of something that it affects the community. So I would implore people to think about that. It's everybody that in today's age that really respects people that do that. And I think that's why, you know, Thrive, Make Money Matter is has that really cool energy behind it, because it's not just millennials that were there. It's people of all ages. I mean, you got Jack Canfield, 72 years old. He spoke and it was phenomenal for 2.5 hours.
It's Jack Canfield. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, I think it's everybody. And I think it's just more, it's more open, and it's more talked about or discussed, that the importance behind that. And so we kind of fell on that. And once I started having those conversations, I realized I could have those conversations with, you know, like we have hotel clients, like the Hotel Del Coronado is one of our clients, and they really enjoy the fact that them buying coffee from Third Alarm Coffee is helping firefighters affected by cancer, and they get to share that story with their guest. And I get emails all the time from people that stay at their property, and then I forward them the emails, hey, take a look. And so does that make somebody stay at their hotel versus another one? I mean, I'm not really sure, you know.
It would for hotel, me. Yeah. I mean, you said you've been around for 7 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would, if I was, when I became firefighter in 2010, 2011 is when I served those 2 years based out of Arizona. But as a hotshot, you know, we get shipped all over the West. It was crazy. So I got to see some experience with Cal Fire. You guys pretty much do everything your own way versus the government. California's so big with so many wildfire problems. It's like, we don't need the federal. Well, there's federal government there, but it's like, yeah, it's all at the state level. But I was fully immersed, man. I was obsessed. So if there was a firefighter charity, fallen firefighter, like my first year, man, end of the season, my buddies all in motorcycles. I picked up my license while I was out there. Like, hey, we're doing a fallen firefighter poker run on motorcycles. He's like, you got your license, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, go to the Harley dealer and rent a motorcycle. Let's go. Nice. I hadn't even driven a motorcycle more than 10 miles. And next thing I'm doing a 500 mile freaking poker tour that weekend up around Lake Havasu and back. So
that's awesome.
But my point here is that, yeah, even to this day, like I've been noticing on social media, there's some new company repurposing retired fire gear, like old hoses and stuff, turning them into wallets and things like that. And I guarantee you, I'm a minimalist to this day, so I love very minimalist wallets, and they have that in their design. I'm going to, as soon as this one wears out, I'm buying one of those because yeah. I know that there's another bigger purpose there. And I can tell you, when we were doing Wildland, man, you wake up in your bedroll under the stars, and you may be a little wet and dewy in the morning, but every single morning, us hardcore guys wake up early, fire up the camp stove, and start busting out some French press with whatever coffee we were owning. If I would have known about your coffee, that would have been in my pack and I would have been rocking that the whole time. Because again, it's like, it's the brand, man. Like, we know there's a bigger picture happening here. There's a legacy in my mind being built behind this.
Yeah, firefighters are extremely loyal. So there's no doubt that firefighters, like this, all the stories you just shared, I agree. Other firefighters feel the same way for sure. So if firefighters know, they'll stay at one hotel versus another, or they may eat, you know, breakfast at one place versus another because there's something fire related there, like you said, that's bigger than just a cup of coffee. And yeah. So that's what we're starting to understand and help these organizations and other companies that we're partnering up with to provide coffee and tea understand so they can see the power in that. And
is that, you know, just local in California, or is it, like, how many states are you guys in now?
So right now we're only in California.
Damn.
But we have the ability to do coffee and tea across the entire nation. And So we do now. We have a 40,000 square foot facility. And so we need to start branching out, yeah, a little bit more and get a little more aggressive in contacting people. And so that's something that I need to turn up the heat on a little bit, so to speak, and start contacting some more people.
Just be careful with the whole Amazon store stuff. I was just learning about that from John Lee Dumas from EO Fire podcast, that when he launched his Freedom Journal, they didn't realize that when you give full unlocked access on Amazon and let Amazon handle your fulfillment, that they could stick those books in any warehouse that they have. And if it leaves that warehouse, now you're paying state tax in that warehouse or something along those lines. So next thing you know, like, if your business isn't set up for sales tax tracking in every single state that book or that coffee bag or whatever is being sold in, like, holy crap, it could be a giant mess. So
yeah, we did a pretty significant amount with Amazon. We did one order where we were a vendor with them, so to speak, and so they bought a significant amount of six figures of coffee worth from us, and then they store it and sell it. But it didn't turn out to be the great relationship that we really wanted, because we only make pennies on the dollar with Amazon. So yeah, wasn't that really good. I mean, it sounds, I hate talking numbers, but the number wise, you know, a global perspective, it looked good, but it really wasn't good for us. And so, in fact, we still have a presence on Amazon, but
lessons learned, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, like, John had a big enough branding recognition and following that he even admitted, he's like, yeah, we lost some sales when he took a back off of Amazon for a short period of time because they weren't set up for the sales tax tracking. Yeah. And he was back and forth. He said, you know, we have a big enough following. He doesn't necessarily need Amazon. And with, it sounds like the fortitude that's being built behind your brand and what you're doing with the right marketing, I don't know if you even need Amazon either. So I don't know what you guys are considering, but just, that's pretty cool though, if you guys can survive on your own.
Yeah, we're focusing more. We're more business on business to business. So we're B2B mainly. And so that's kind of where our whole focus is. And
awesome.
Then we're entertaining some Costco opportunities. We weren't really in a position to do that about a year and a half ago. And they were very gracious and said they'd give us an opportunity for some road shows.
Wow.
But I didn't want to outgrow our company. And so I wanted to make sure we were sustainable and would stick around and stuff. So as odd as that sounds, that was the reality of it. So who knows what happened in the future.
No, but that's smart though. And how many businesses have made that mistake? They try and go grow too big too quickly. The systems aren't in place. The logistics aren't in place. And now you've many times have actually ruined the brand integrity because you can't back up what you claim, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Which is what, I mean, again, going back to kind of big picture in business or in life or in coaching or mentoring or anything, it's like, dude, you better be able to back up the message you're sending. And
yeah,
that's one thing that I'll never forget about the firefighting world. It's like, hey man, if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it or else you're doing pushups.
Well, it's for us, the integrity piece or the congruency piece is so important in the fire service that people's life depend on it, either that your firefighters you are working with or people's lives in the community. And so we take that congruency it's so important to us because, you know, failure is not an option. So that's, you're right. And if other people thought about, if they had that kind of concept in some of the things they do in life or business or family, that those things are being congruent and what you say and you do and all those things, and say, you know, understand mistakes. And the fire service, man, is a full-on lesson of life. It's a lesson of manners. It's a lesson of getting along with people. It's a lesson on perspective. The biggest thing for me is perspective, is what the fire service teaches people. It teaches people how precious life is, love, family, health, so many different things about the importance of life and being human, being empathetic, serving people. It's a great lesson. So like your 2 years in the fire service, man, what you've walked away with from that is probably just is priceless and can be packaged into soul to people to help them thrive in their life and let, you know, fuel them up, so to speak. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I admittedly, when we talked in San Diego, cause that's where you live, right? Were you in Chula Vista? No, you're San Diego. But I think that's the most important part here is that, again, power of podcasting here. I'm 3 hours ahead of you on the East Coast. You're back on the West Coast. Who cares? We clearly made a connection and we're following up. I'm helping get your voice out to the world. And you're just also just giving me so much exposure here on the show because I was just looking forward to following up with you because, again, we talked about so much. And it's like, am I really bringing the full potential into Live the Fuel, right? Because of what we talked about and how I feel sometimes I was trying to be modest or I was trying to work on my, I don't know. Some people say, hey man, you talk about that too much when I first came back. Actually, when I first came back, I didn't talk about it at all. And some of my friends were like, dude, you're Mr. Adrenaline Junkie. You're always telling stories about all the crazy stuff you do and you haven't really shared any fire stories. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. It was kind of life-changing. I don't know what to tell you. So
yeah. I think it's those things. I mean, it's tough for people to hear any kind of the hardcore stories, but just the reality of perspective in life is what the fire service teaches. And like, it's crazy. I'm starting to talk a lot about this lately. The fire service, all the things I described with you briefly, but I talk more in depth with it. And one of the things I talk about is like the fire service, we have our own mastermind. Our kitchen table is a mastermind every single night. And we talk about life. We talk about parenting. We talk about working on our homes. We talk about challenges. We talk about politics. We talk about religion.
Well, it's family.
We talk about all that stuff. And everybody respects everybody else's opinion and feelings and those kinds of things. And we talk about these things. And so it's a crazy mastermind we have in the fire service that basically gets... it's the same type of mastermind you see in the personal development world and probably even more powerful sometimes. It's pretty interesting. So those are kinds of things that you can live with and talk about the who, what, and why and all that you're doing. I'm not sure what's in the seven, the super seven.
My e-guide. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I haven't put
that's, my, I haven't that's going to be redesigned to a whole different level, but that's basically my top resources that I started utilizing when I started digging into my own brand development. Like, hey man, like what are my favorite books as well as podcasts, as well as other things that really kind of helped me get going and start breaking out of my shell a little bit. Because after the fire experience, it was like so much was going on in my head. I mean, I went from, you know, growing up as a farm kid to chasing the corporate dream, realizing that, oh man, I still love this line to this day. My one buddy's like, dude, every time you climb another rung on that corporate ladder, there's still somebody else's fat ass above your head. And I was like, I'll never forget that line. It still cracks me up. And then taking that 2 year break and just saying, all right, man, get rid of everything, simplify the life. I crammed everything into a $3,000 Subaru Outback, got rid of the townhouse and just, dude, rolled west, and I went out by the connotation that I may end up doing this the rest of my life. I didn't know. Like, I literally moved. My life fit in my car. And a lot of people back here on the East are like, what? Where are you going? What's wild in firefighting? I'm like, you'll see. I'll take some photos. But the one thing that to this day still stands out above the rest was I never knew true brotherhood, sisterhood, like that. I never understood that, right? Like police, military, veterans, fire, I mean, whatever. There's a whole different level of connection. Like once you've, I guess, put it all on the line with people, I'm not trying to sound cheesy, but it's true. It's like once you're, dude, you're a freaking family, man. You're a crew. Like you got to trust your life with that next guy or girl up in front of you or behind you going in, whether it be in the wilderness or in your case in structure fire. So that was a whole eye-opening, life-changing experience for me.
It's a big deal. Here's how I view the whole thing. You're right. It's our lives depend on each other and we give our lives up for the community. But here's how it works. There's a bunch of strangers and these strangers go to this one place called the fire department and they don't know anybody. They don't know each other. And then new strangers come in and they get to know each other and they have to work well. And not only do they have to work well together, not only do they have to understand the systems, do they have to function as a high effective team where failure is not an option because people's lives depend on it. Then more strangers come in later on and more strangers come in later on. And then they got to train them and so forth. And then you think about training. And then as firefighters, we have to train so aggressively and so hard that it becomes part of our subconscious. And that's why we can get up at 3 a.m. and go save somebody's life in a fire without even thinking about it. And then I can go on and on. And if you take those same concepts of reality and you apply them or you parallel them to being an entrepreneur or owning your own business, same thing. You have to work with strangers. You have to be a leader. You have to be a team player. You have to inspire people. You have to depend on other people. You have to work your strengths when other people don't have those strengths in that area. You have to illuminate your, you know, saying sorry. You have to be real. You have to be pure. Nobody to blame for mistakes but you, you know, and all these different things. And so it's really interesting, like the fire service and being an entrepreneur, very, very similar, very similar. And if you're going to succeed like as an entrepreneur, then failure is not an option. It doesn't mean that if you fail one particular business or company, that's failure. It just means that one didn't work. You're going to keep moving forward. Failure is giving up and never trying anything else again, right? So So it's kind of the same concept. And when I talk to people about that at a deeper level, and I'm just kind of giving the surface of it, it's kind of trippy. And it's what we do in the fire service, and it's a unique thing that we do. And we do it for 30 years with these people that we're complete strangers that become a family. And then, like you said, we risk our lives for each other. And then we have families together and kids grow up together and people go through cancer together and people lose family members together. It's a unique situation. You have that law enforcement, military. The fire service is very unique and no one's talked about it openly like I'm talking about it right now. And you'll see, I think you're going to start seeing more of that because historically firefighters don't talk about all that we do other than you see these fire engines or calendars or fundraisers.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were talking in California. Like, we both maybe should be talking about it a lot more because I love promoting now business and entrepreneurship and everything. And even if it was only 2 years, like, you know damn well a ton of the skill sets that were honed, sharpened, and reinforced in those 2 years are totally being fueled into what I'm doing now. Like that's literally fuel for the fire. I mean, come on, that's it's funny because people are like, did you guys use fire to fight fire? And we're like, yeah. Like, well, in the wildland we did. I don't know about structure. But yeah, we literally used fire to fight fire, man. So it's all on how you're, you know, what is the end goal and how you have to implement things safely in order to get there. But I think it is interesting that you made that very, very good point to me that you need to embrace this more. And get the because I can't make this shit up. Like, this is all pure, man. Like, whatever I do going forward, if I'm channeling more of the firefighting experience into my brand and what I'm doing even more than I've done to this point, I'm not making it up, man. It is what it is. These are skills. These are things that have been honed from, the business world too, but from a life-changing experience for 2 years, or in your case, 25 plus years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of times in entrepreneurship, people, there's like a misconception, like if they create a brand and it doesn't work, then they have to give up. It's over. I'm not an entrepreneur. Or if they try a business and the business fails for whatever reason, I can't do this. And the reality is that's absolutely not true. None of that's true at all. A person just hasn't found what they really thrive at, or they haven't figured out systems or stronger leadership traits or skill sets or team building. And you just grow and you keep doing that, right? And you get better and better, and then you fall into where you're supposed to fall into and you thrive at it and you become very good at what you do. And so that's the biggest thing that I like to share with people is like, hey, it's okay if something you're doing, it fails or doesn't work, move on to the next thing and don't give up, because when it's not over until you give up on whatever you want to do. And it's okay to keep kind of, you know, not having these mishits, so to speak.
Well, it's kind of funny because I don't know if we end up talking about this point or not, but like, you got the crazy, I'm all about motivation, man. That's a big part of my brand. But you got crazy guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and all these other people who are like, you got to hustle till you die or stuff like this. And it's like, all right, dude, I agree and I don't agree. I mean, perfect example, lesson from fire. And you guys probably do things a little bit differently, but going into a wildland firefighting interface, it's like, dude, as a hotshot, we always, in our game plan, there was always two escape routes planned with a stat and safety zones for the worst case scenario. So some people tell you, man, you got to focus on one business and crush it and you'll just get there. And yeah, if it fails, it's okay. You'll learn from that. But like, no, there's, that's what people understand. Like, you can't become complacent and assume that as long as you're crushing it and putting 110% all the time, you're just going to get there. Like, don't become complacent, man. Like, complacent equals death. And that was something that I learned from firefighting too. Like, you never become complacent. Just because we've been doing this for 6 months straight and you've punched that fire line over and over again and you got your escape routes and you got your safety zones established, that does not mean you at any point in time drop your guard and aren't looking out for yourself and the person next to you or the end goal or that mission that you're on, because stuff can change in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I use it. I talk to people and I use this on interviews and when I'm doing interviews for large campaign fires. And because we'll get asked questions like, if the fire does something different, are you guys ready for that? And of course, the answer is yes. And in life, you just echo the same thing. If something changes, are you ready for that? And in the fire service, we use an acronym called PACE. So it stands for primary plan, alternative plan, contingent plan, and emergency plan. And so relative to what you're doing in your life, if you set a PACE process up, then you're ready for anything, whatever's going to come your way and forecasting. Yeah. So I totally implore people to think that with that mindset, kind of what you're sharing. Gary Vaynerchuk, he's a great dude. I don't need a lot of his stuff. He's entertaining to watch. I'm already motivated. I respect what he does. I respect what his family does. And you know what? I wish my family gave me a $4 million business to start with. And let me tell you where I'd be. I would be $40 million, $60 million strong. And I have no problem telling anybody that. So especially where I've come from, nothing to where I am now. So people that have that opportunity and start with $4 million and already successful business and then fell into the realm of the internet and some other stuff and had the foresight to do what, you know, he did. He did amazing stuff and he works his ass off.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did. But he definitely had some resources there in place. So
Yeah, he did. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Come on.
I mean, really? Like, so give anybody that and let's see where they go. And so those things sometimes for me are tough. Like, I understand and I respect everybody in their own right. But holy moly, man, you know what? Give me $4 million a company and let me see where I can go with it, because it changes the game. It changes where you start. It changes a lot of different things. And so he's a phenomenal social media cat and I love what he's doing now and I respect him. But yeah, it's hard for me sometimes to hear certain things. Because,
although I got to call him out because I am a new podcaster. I take my gear very seriously. Gary Vaynerchuk, if you ever listen to this episode, please, please get good microphones for God's sakes. You sound like shit. Sorry. I have to say this. Like, they're not taking it seriously. I tried listening to their Ask Gary V show and I had to take it off my podcast list. It's like the audio quality is crap. And I'm like, you guys are crushing it everywhere else. Like, wouldn't you care about the quality of your audio? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's me. I mean, maybe that's the firefighting stuff. I can't help it. It's like, cross your T's, dot your I's.
If people just focus on doing what they need to do a little bit more than watching videos, they'd be killing it a little bit further than they were. But it's great when people like motivate people and inspire people, that helps people, you know, kind of get past where they're trying to get past. But yeah, I get it, man.
Where did all this stem from, man? I mean, we've been discussing. I mean, again, we haven't even talked about all this other stuff that I discovered about you, like the whole Castle Band thing for I think it's for young girls, correct?
Yeah, it's for baby girls.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's like is that inspirational content for those bands, the headbands?
You know, it's just I have a daughter, so I have a 2-year-old daughter, and we like to give words of affirmation to her and tell her that you know, she's beautiful, she's strong, she's a leader, all the things that work for our family and empower her, and hopefully with the hopes to create those neural paths of self-confidence and self-love, because from about 0 to 3 are pretty important developmental stages on what kids will think about themselves. And so I wanted to empower my daughter to be strong, and I want her to be a strong woman, and yes, I want her to be able to make her own choices, not rely on anybody, and be in the driver's seat of her life. And so my wife and I would say these things, and then I noticed we kind of stopped saying some of them, and she wears headbands. And so I came up with the concept of, hey, if we had a headband on there and these words were on there, it would remind us to say these things to her, and it would be cool. And so that's where Castle Band came from. And my daughter's middle name is Castle, spelled just the way it is. And so that's why I call it Castle Band. And I did that thing completely backwards, and in terms of like marketing and launching and all that.
You followed your passion. You were inspired by it.
Yeah, I did it for me, really, and I just wanted to have something for her to look back on. And we made a video, and it just organically got over 1,000 views. I had no website or anything else up. I put on Facebook, and I went, "Oh shit, people like this." And there's nothing out there like it at all. And there could be after somebody listens to this, and I don't care as long as we're empowering girls. I think it's killer.
And, I agree.
And then I put the website out. We have some few sales, and I haven't marketed or done anything in terms of marketing it since. And I have some ideas to partner up with some other companies, but it really was for my family and for my daughter. And if the only thing that comes out of it is that it was a reminder for us to empower our daughter more, I'm cool with that. And the money spent behind everything else was fine. So,
well, they tell you you have to love what you're doing. So clearly there was a huge underlying message there, something that really struck to your heart and struck to your family morals. So what better way to start an accidental, you know, success is how I look at it.
Yeah. Who knows where that could go and what it could do. But I just, you know, I don't have that growing up. And so I wanted to give that to her, and I think it's super important.
Well, and that's kind of where I was leading to. I was like, you know, I mean, I grew up, you know, working on our family farm, stuff like that. You know, my dad's a livestock hauler, and nowadays he's more of a broker. But like, hey man, I used to get home and smell a lot. I don't know. So I didn't grow up with a lot either. And I'm like, where did all this come from? Is this your own self-development? Does this come from the fire? Was there anything before fire that helped you get to where you are today? Because clearly all these brands, this is all a journey over 7 to 10 plus years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, for me, I don't know where it would come from other than I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I do things that make me happy. I enjoy
working hard. You're taking action.
Yeah, I enjoy working hard. I like to take action. I have ideas. I implement them. And I don't care what people think. If they think, oh, it's a waste of time or energy or money, it's my life. It's my money. It's my energy. It's my time. And the things that I do have really good intent behind them. And so I think there's so much more in life. I think being a firefighter is created a lot of maturity in me and the importance of things we talked about, like leadership and love and family and perspective and all those things, to actually kind of just empower me, I guess, if I could think of anything from the fire service with all those lessons in life that I still get every day at the fire department, to go do more and share more and impact more. And so that's what I've done in my life, and from writing books to other things. And I don't have any goals in terms of like, I'm going to write this book and make $1 million. I just have an idea and I want to do something. So I execute it. And then when people say, it's so hard to write a book. I say, what do you mean so hard to write a book? how'd you do it? Well, let me tell you how I did it. You know, I got a D in English and let me tell you how I did it. And they're both bestsellers. And then I share the story with them, and I don't charge them $1,500 to do that. I just tell them how I did it. And so, you know, it's if I want to do something, I just do it. And I'm maybe not the best at everything that I do, but I tell you, I've created some really cool life experiences, and who knows how some of the things I've done impacted people, and what I can share with my family down the road, and when my kids grow up, and empower them to be the best they can. And so that's just kind of why I do things. You know, I love the fire service. I'm grateful for it. And I got another 7 years here before I can retire, which is phenomenal. And, you know, I was asked today by our estate planners, so if these other things really do well, are you going to retire early from the fire department? I said, no, I'm not. I enjoy it. And
I don't see you saying yes to that.
Yeah, you know, it's weird for me because I'm kind of talking in a circle here, but talking about like why I do all these things I do, and because I can, you know, because we all can. And
I was going to say we all can. A choice. It's a personal choice.
Yeah, and you know, it's weird for me. I'm just starting to think about like making more money for my family to create a deeper legacy of creativity and freedom for my family as I get older or leave this world. And that's becoming a little more important to me. And I think we think about those things as we get older. And so I'm going to, you know, be a little more aggressive in some business areas. But it's weird because I've been happy my entire life going to the fire department, literally. Super excited every single day I get to go to the fire department, regardless of the things that I've seen and dealt with, which are major, and I don't want to even bring up because I'll bring some listeners down. But then there's positive things as well. But I when I go to these conferences, and I've been in the personal development space for probably about 4 to 5 years, and I've just kind of been walking in the pool, you know, real lightly and just kind of checking everybody out. But and now
same
it's
here.
Time. Yeah. And I just, when people talk about, you know, you got to be happy and, you know, you got to think right and you got to, I'm like, shit, man. I'm already happy.
Yeah.
I already have a good mindset. And I know people need this. Don't get me wrong. And it feels good to hear this. And you feel empowered. And I feel empowered. Everyone feels empowered. And so being a firefighter has actually kind of been a curse too, because there's more probably I could do. It's a blessing and a curse. And I've just been so extremely happy. When I come back from vacation, I'm stoked to go to work. I love the people I work with. I love the people I lead with and call brothers and sisters. And so it's a unique place for me to be, where I literally am not one of these people at these conferences where I say, yeah, I got to get out of what I do. I'm so grateful every single day, every morning, every night that I get to be a firefighter and serve my community, get paid. I'm grateful for it. And it feels so freaking good. And now it's time to maybe turn up the heat a little bit in the business and get a little stronger in the speaking area and some of the consulting that we're doing to generate some revenue for potential legs.
Like we discussed at Thrive, you building more success and more financial freedom is just going to allow you more resources to impact more people, not just yourself and your family, but that's always been a struggle war for myself too, as far as embracing the money. Like we always say, oh yeah, I want to be rich and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. In reality, it's like if you are financially wealthy and financially independent, that does create more freedom. And it's up to you how you choose to use that freedom. But people like you and myself, I know for a fact, like how powerful it would be to be able to start impacting even more lives and in a positive way. But we need to have the resources to do that with, right? So when your 7 years are up, you got to make sure that you've got the financial freedom to continue supporting your family. But then also then maybe you're on another book tour, or you're on a speaking circuit or whatever. But hey, it takes money to play.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so many times people don't want to talk about money, but money is important. And, you know, it creates, like you said, all those different things. What's your end game for Live the Fuel? Is there more beyond Live the Fuel? Is it taking it
There's a lot
that
more.
brand is it taking that brand deeper?
The podcast has actually been very eye-opening for Live the Fuel, because it was originally just my mantra, right? The whole live the fired up epic life, obviously from the firefighting background, my adrenaline junkie lifestyle, which you and I discussed, since you're a fellow you're not a skier, but you're a snowboarder, but
yeah, is that you, by the way, the skiing on that picture on your website?
Yeah, they're all my own shots.
That's awesome.
Wait, which photo is that? I don't even know.
there's one where I got to put in my information for the seven, for your guide.
And, oh yeah.
It's a really, really cool ski picture.
Yeah. I've got a lot of creep, because I used to live in Colorado after firefighting, the 2 years in Arizona, I moved to Colorado, and there was the second week I was there, and my roommates were all, mountaineers. And the ski season had ended, so the ski resorts were closing. And he's like, all right, dude, we're going to go do some backcountry. And I was like, I've never done backcountry. He's like, well, he's like, you've been a USSA ski race coach for 11 years. Well, 11 years this year anyway. It's like, yeah. He's like, well, you know, just more altitude. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, we got hiked in. I don't know if that's the photo you're talking about or not. Probably is. But yeah, I think the shot, one of my favorite shots, I put it on one of my credit cards. They put the photograph on my credit card, because that way every time I use it, it just reminds me about that lifestyle reminder, which is why I did that. And it's like, dude, I got to take a shot at 12,000 feet on an icy rim that I got to drop in on called the Ptarmigan Glacier up in Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. That was like week number two of living as a resident in Colorado. So I was like, yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
But it's kind of like, to answer your question on Live the Fuel, man, and just like you hinted at, you don't know where it's all going to go. Like, I created Live the Fuel just to encompass my lifestyle, and because I'm a huge health and wellness junkie. I coach CrossFit in my free time, but I'm also a marketing professional, and I help people with their brands. So it's like, I wanted to show people with Live the Fuel what it's like to kind of create your own brand, because I think we all need to be building our own brands. Like, hello, like everybody should have their own brand or at least have your own website. Even if you are a corporate monkey and you love that lifestyle, great. But where's your resume? Where's your lifestyle? Who are you beyond your job? And so I'm a very big advocate for that. But to your point, I've already been dabbling more in public speaking. I've thought about actually putting out a book myself, just on the lessons learned of the hotshot world, You and I talked about that in California. Just something that could, number one, maybe help clear my brain, but number two, maybe give some of the lessons learned, you know? Like, hey,
absolutely,
other people can learn from that without risking your life. So, I mean, I have a lot of great photography evidence of that too. Actually, that's on the website too. When you first go to the website, that background shot of somebody holding a chainsaw, that's me. But yeah, so Live the Fuel is constantly changing. It's constantly morphing. In the end, I want it to be a source of inspiration and motivation, whether it be from a business or from a healthy standpoint. You know, I've got side businesses like you do too. Like, I don't have a coffee thing, but I have a nutrition business. So it's just my home, man. It's just where everything that I have done up to this point in my life, to me, is Live the Fuel. So if I can help people do the same thing or get a taste of that, I mean, that's something we took away from Thrive, right? If you can impact one person positively to create change, whether it be personally, professionally, emotionally, health, whatever it may be, like, great. That's a win. That's how I look at it.
I agree. I mean, 100%.
You've been doing this now for a little while. I think you're the same way. Like, if you can get at least one person to come back from an event and respond in a positive way with a life-changing experience or just something to move them forward in their lives, like, boom, it was all worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So
what can I do to help with Live the Fuel, man?
You know what? You already are, bro. I mean, it's just the fact you came on the show. I'm excited because I haven't had anybody on the show yet to talk about fire. So we have to stay in touch, man. Cause I totally want to, when you're ready to discuss this more, you kind of hinted about bringing people down. This is the reality, man. Like, people do need to understand more about firefighting. And, obviously, are you going to be discussing more depth on your podcast that way?
Yeah. My podcast was going to be a Leadership Thinker, and it's tabled. I don't have a commitment to do it. And, okay. you know what goes into it, but no, I'm just going to start having more conversations about the fire service and how it parallels life and the life lessons and entrepreneurial world and personal development, because there's so many things that can be taken out of the fire service, to get people to think, act, and feel differently. And so I'm just going to start sharing some of those things. I got some other things on the horizon. I'm working on my TED talk right now. I'm flying, to Denver on Saturday to go, with, Lewis Howell's, personal coach, speaking coach.
So I'm jealous.
Stuff.
Lewis was awesome.
He's a good man. Good guy.
Well, the book, he gave us all a book, the whole audience, over 600 people got a copy of his book. Everybody was like, what? And back to that kind of mission of giving, I don't know. It's like, it's funny because I need to go buy another one of his books, because right then and there, I took the book over to him, and immediately I thought of a guy who's a local here. He and I are meeting on Friday. I'm trying to help him kind of create his next adventure in his life. And he's a very loyal listener of the show already. And I was like, you know, I just thought of him. So like, he's going to get that book on Friday. He has no idea yet. So, this will be the second book that I've now given him in a month. But I said, you know what? Hey, could you just sign this for Brian? And just, I'll buy another one, and I'll just worry about running into you, you know, at another event down the road and have you sign that one. So I don't know what it is, man. It was just like that big picture. It's like, it wasn't about me. It was just, I don't know. Thrive was kind of overflowing, man. All I was thinking about was other people. And that's one thing that I was like, how powerful is an event when you're meeting a famous author, somebody that I was already following online. And dude, I didn't want anything for myself on that book. I wanted it for him. I was like, whoa, I didn't realize it until after I left. I'm like, oh man, I should have bought a second book.
We'll get you a book. You know, I share a quick story about Lewis Howell and why I think he's so successful and will continue to be successful because of how he shows up. And I've always felt that the most successful people are the most accessible people. And so I say, Lewis, man, I want to really get into public speaking a little bit more. But I have these areas I really need to work on. I'm not quite where I want to be. I speak now and I facilitate. I'm great at that and do my masterminds, but I really want to be on stage and I know my areas I need to improve on. Can you recommend anybody for X, Y, and Z? And so we got some clarity. Is it this path or that path? And he goes, yeah, man, no problem. And so he pulls out his phone and he does an email intro right away. And then it starts the connection. And then less than 2 weeks later, I'm flying out to Denver to go, do 3 days of some private coaching or 2 days of private coaching. And
sweet.
It, I, Yeah, and I wouldn't have done, I mean, obviously I'm paying for all this, of course, but that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have, one, asked the question, and number two, if he wouldn't have been who he is and how he is and willing to help. And someone like that, I will support to the death. I will talk great about, and even if that didn't happen to me, if he did it for somebody else. And that's what I believe success is about. And not everybody would do that. In fact, one guy that I spoke to twice, two different times, one at Thrive, I added him on Facebook, and he emailed me and said, "Thanks for that. How do I know you? Are you a fan of mine?" And I'm like,
"Are you
no.
kidding me?"
Yeah, I'm like, "Or a fan of the show, whatever." I'm like, "Actually, I've never heard a show at all, ever. And it's huge, but I've never heard a show." And I didn't say that. I just go, "No, I've met you two other times through this person, like was pretty intimate." And I even asked him a question about speaking and other stuff. So it was like, there's an example of two different people, both great guys, but one, in my mind, extremely successful and will continue to grow, and why he's a New York Times bestseller, et cetera, and so on. And the other one maybe appears to be successful, but I don't know. Like, I'm not on his jock. I don't give a shit that he has a million followers or whatever he has. None of that shit matters to me. What matters to me if you're a dick or if you're really nice.
Yeah.
Lewis Howes.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah. You know, like, great man. Great guy. That's my story with him. And I'm in some of that circle with some people. And I've never really asked for anything from these folks. And they're telling me I should ask for help more. So I said, shit, I'm going to ask some of these folks. And when I asked him, I was like, man, he gets it. And I would do the same thing if I could for somebody in whatever space, right? Whatever they ask me. And we all do. But is this a dichotomy of two different type of personalities?
Well, like, it's kind of funny because people like, even Johnny Dumas says this, he's always like, well, every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to everything else. Well, that doesn't mean you stop being approachable. I think that's important clarification, right? It's like, dude, be a human being to other human beings, okay? Yeah, especially if you're obviously trying to build a following. And I think Lewis is actually pure. He's not trying to do it to build a fan base. He's already successful. But to your point, yeah, I mean, it's funny. Michael O'Neill was the MC. One of the things he says all times too, he's like, listen, if people are friending you online, let them grow your network. You're innocent until proven creepy. And I was like, I love that. So I was like, girl, I had tons of people connecting with me from Thrive ever since that event. Like, I don't even know how many new friends I have. Great. But the ones that I really connected with, I made sure that I messaged them back personally, which is like cool. You and me. It's like, okay, the ones you connected with, do that due diligence. And I was there was a few people that I did not do that with because they friended me. And I waited to see if they were doing that, and they didn't do that. So I was like, so clearly you're just trying to grow your network.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, I'm not going to unfriend you. You're welcome to join my network. But I'm like, there could have been some opportunity for me to maybe help them get some exposure by putting them on this show. Or, you know, that's all I'm doing right now. Because like that company called me earlier today. They're like, oh, well, you know, how are you doing your marketing? I'm like, it's organic, dude. Like it's a brand new show. I want it to grow and be successful. But I also want it to be pure, though, too. I don't want it to be forcing it.
It's going to take time. It's like, hey, I'm not trying to be an overnight success.
No, because if this is truly, if I'm putting the right messaging out there and I'm bringing on the right co-host like yourself to share in some of this messaging and this energy that's going to benefit others, the show will be a success. I'm not worried about that.
Absolutely.
And if I'm helping, and that's the other thing, like every single person from Thrive, and now you're the third, I think third, and there's a couple more coming up, another one tomorrow and another one next week. Now that I have my calendar built into the website, it's a lot easier to book you guys.
Nice.
But they're all Thrive people. So I was like, great, man. I'm like, I'm just rocking it. I love it because that's just also giving Cole some more exposure too. Because I want to help him grow that event. It was definitely a positive impact. So I'm following that whole big picture message of giving. And it sounds like you and I are clearly on the same page on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it is cool that you're doing that for a Thrive. I saw on your website, one of the resources is Thrive, and it's pretty cool. You're kind of paying that forward, that event impacted you. You're helping other Thrive Tribe members, and you're helping Cole because of the inspiration and what you got out of that. It's a cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, if people are doing something right, I have no problem putting my name behind that. So yeah, as soon as the opportunity, like I launched my resources page, I'm like, I'm putting the Thrive logo up there and I'm linking it to the event. So that way, if I'm talking about it like we are today, people can, hey, man, they can go right to livethefuel.com, go to the resources page. You can click on the Thrive logo and you can go learn all about it. So instead of us sitting here and obviously expressing our complete satisfaction with it, I want to make it as easy as possible for people to track people down, which is why I take it very seriously with our show notes and everything that you and I have been talking about today. You know, if people are excited about your fire coffee, I'm like, dude, I want to buy some coffee.
I'll send you some. Yeah, give me your address and I'll send you some. Yeah, man. Not over there. Just email it to me and I'll send you some.
Well, I'll be going on. Now, your books real quick, because I love books and I love learning. Are those also available in audio, like on Audible?
No, I'm not at that level yet.
No, dude. Everybody's saying, like, even if your book, I know the one came out in what, 13 and the other one came out in 15?
Yeah.
You can re-release them as audiobooks and you build another whole following right there, because I'm crushing books on Audible right now. So
I have no idea how to. I'd have to sit down and figure out how to do that. And it's just as simple as read the book, and or like I'd have to figure out how.
I being one of them. I don't like the voiceover people. If you wrote the book, I want to hear you actually like read the book. And the beauty of that is that a lot of people like me love it, because as you're reading your book, you can actually put a little more into it on the digital recording, right? Because you're actually like reliving the book as you're kind of reading through it. And maybe your publisher, if you're, you know, managed by a publisher or whatever, maybe they limited you about what you were allowed to print. The beauty of an audiobook and you being the audio author is that you could say whatever the hell you want. So a lot of people love the audio version of books, because now we get a little bit more depth and a little bit more detail than what we didn't get out of the book. So
yeah, if I could do that and release it for free, that'd be great. I probably don't think I would want to charge anybody money for it, but maybe I should look into doing something like that. Thanks for the insight.
Well, if you're going to do that, you could even launch that through your site as just downloadable copies, right?
So yeah, because we have that now, downloadable copies.
There you go.
Have that, but I don't have the audio piece though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I tell you, I travel so much. I put audiobooks on and I speed them up to like 1.5 or 2.0.
Yeah, I do the exact same thing.
Everybody sounds like a chipmunk. But yeah, I mean, unless the content though is really, really detailed, and I want to slow it down and really immerse myself in it. So if it's there, it all depends on the piece I'm listening to. So yeah. And I'm sure you've actually sped yourself up on your podcast just to see how you sound like a chipmunk. I did that right away. I was like, okay, I got to see how I sound.
That's radical.
Well, hey, man, this has been awesome. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Really, really excited about this. I don't say this about all my co-hosts, so maybe I should. I apologize, but sorry, man. He's a firefighter, so he gets a little more love. So besides your exciting trip, is there anything else exciting coming up? Any new launches, or is this all kind of like a big like steam builder for 2017?
You know, I'm building right now, and I have my new website, richbrokini.com, and I've been building in for all that kind of packaging, like you said, cleaning things up, and so that's kind of new. But in terms of anything really big coming up, I'm going all in on my speaking. I'm going to continue, obviously, my coffee company. Our consulting company is doing very well. We're helping a lot of organizations with team building right now and what we do and self-awareness profiles. We're doing some good stuff in that. So those are going great, and I'm just going all in, man. I'm putting skin in the game. I'm putting a significant amount of money in the game for speaking. I'm hiring the right coaches. I'm going to the right people to with the right resources, so I can come out in 2017. I think for me, look out for a TED Talk. I'm bringing a TED Talk. I've been talking about it. I have it written. You know, it's not where I want. I've shared it with a few different people who one person took my idea. It's pretty interesting, but it's a little different concept. I saw that the other day on Facebook, but I'm coming out with a vengeance, man. And it's all about living my purpose of the gift of sharing a story to impact people. And it's exactly what Cole said at Thrive. And that's what I'm doing. And then I'm going to take that same TED Talk and I'm going to go and share that all over with organizations, associations, and that's going to be my big thing. And I'm going to start doing a lot more public speaking so I can inspire people to think, feel, and act different. That's going to be my big thing. That's where I'm empowered. That's where I can empower others. And I think that's where people are going to see me in the personal development space. I have no freaking clue about any kind of packages and funnels and shit like that, which
dude,
I don't know.
That'll come. That'll come.
All I'm doing is I want to speak to people and I want to inspire people to think, feel, and act differently. And I want to continue to help organizations, our consulting company, and grow our coffee company. But look out for a TED Talk coming soon.
That's going to be awesome because we have a small, what do they call it? TEDx Lehigh Valley, because I live in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania.
And nice.
I haven't even been to one of their events yet because every time they have one, I'm traveling. But I have a friend of mine who helps organize them, and I could see one of those being in my future too, because I have no clue. I don't care who I step up in front of and talk to. And I think if you have the right message to share, it's important that you do that. So I'm just like you. I don't think I'm at your level yet, but I'm definitely trying to level up. And I have no problem. After years of being in sales and marketing and doing corporate training and corporate coaching, I'm like, I don't care, man. I'll get in front of anybody and talk to them. So
it's awesome.
And if you have that kind of, I tell people all the time, if you've already built that level of experience, then why not get on stage, right?
Absolutely.
It's just going to help you grow. And it sounds like that's what you're going to be doing as well. So
that's the whole intent, man. My intent is truly to get people to think, feel, and act differently, and to live the life they want to live. That's really what I want to do. And I would do that through some stories and through speaking. And it's an art, man. I'm telling you right now, the speaking is an art, because so many people get up and talk about themselves and just themselves and just themselves. And it's like, really, man, dude, chick, get off the stage. Yeah. And they mean well, they're trying their best, or they're just egotistic, either one, but it's just not resonating. And like, there's an art to it, man. And it's a skill and it's a craft.
It's got
to
be honed. So,
yeah, like, and that's why, I'm going with some of the best people in the industry to help me get where I need to get. So my message comes across that people understand me too. I can do that. Wow, that's inspiring. Oh, I didn't know this. Wow, okay. And think to all these different things. So that's why, like, if I would recommend, if anybody wants to do something they're not good at, find someone that can help them do that thing good. And that's what I'm doing for speaking. So I can make sure that I come out and really inspire people, and just don't go tell people, you know, when I was 7, this happened. And then when I was 12, cause that's stupid.
Yeah. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. It's not about that surface level junk, which I agree with you. A lot of speakers talk like that. So now, are you going to be pushing out updates like that through your new primary website? Which, again, guys, if you're listening and you don't have time to go back to our show notes and website, it's Rich Brocchini. It's, I'll just spell it. It's B as in boy, R-O, double C as in Charlie, H-I, N as in Nancy, I. I'm not going to use the government speak because not everybody follows Alpha Bravo Charlie. Yeah. But I'm guessing all that content's going to be driven through there. Is that going to be your primary focal point besides all the other brands?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I have a Facebook page, and you know, it's my name, richbrocchini.com, which is kind of my personal brand page.
Okay.
But I don't even have an Instagram. I don't have a Snapchat. I'm going to get an Instagram. So,
dude,
I'm
just if you need help with that, let me know. I'm all about Instagram because I love sharing quotes and things of that nature. I get tons of following just from the quotes. It's hilarious. Like, people just love good quotes and the right hashtags, of course, too. But that's a great way to share that imagery that just reinforces the words, for example. So,
absolutely.
Plus, Instagram now lets you do up to a minute worth of video. So you could literally be doing quotes and things of that nature, or whatever you, what kind of messaging you want to put out that day or that week. Mm-hmm. So
I need to do that then. Yeah, I haven't done it. I'm more of a business side of things and do things, not so much social media. And I've realized that sometimes people, the most successful people, don't have followers, don't have following, and they're very, very successful in their life. And sometimes people think, oh shit, I don't want to talk to this person. They don't have a following on social media. And it's like, oh my God, you're missing the boat. But I do understand it's 2016 and it's important to have that. And that's where you can really inspire.
It is. And if nothing else, it's just like why you're trying to get to speaking and everything else, because it just allows you to get your message out to more people and then attract the right people to you, because we can't help everybody, but there's going to be people drawn to my style or your style versus somebody else's style. So there's people out there, they're like, oh man, the last 3 events I've gone to suck. I need to go to Thrive, apparently. Or, man, the last 3 coaches or speakers I've hired sucked. Oh, but dude, I really love this whole fire theme. So there's people out there looking for that connection. So it goes back to that message from making money matter, just like with money. But it's like, dude, if we're not putting our message out there so people can find us, there might be some other people that are out there lost right now, and they need that camaraderie or that connection that you or myself or others can provide. But if they have no way of finding us, how are we supposed to help them?
Hey, man, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, I'll receive that very well. Thank you.
So let's bring this show to a close, because you got some life. We have kids and parenting and all that craziness. I want nothing to do with that, but that's all. I have more adrenaline to plan. But what is if you've listened to a couple of the episodes already, I love it when my co-host can just close out the show with just an umbrella message, like something to kind of encompass everything we discussed today. So, I mean, is there any kind of big picture messaging? We've already discussed a lot, but just something from today that's in the top of your mind, or something as a whole that you're going to use to kind of channel into 2017? Like, what's a message you want to leave the listeners from the firefighterpreneur?
You know, there's so many messages, but I think at the end of the day, if somebody's listening to this podcast, then they're here for a reason, and they want to do something more with their life. And I would just ask people to ask themselves, what are they waiting for? What's the worst can happen? Be told no. You know, that didn't work. Do something different. And just to really live a life that you really want to live. And it's so cliche, and people say it all the time. And, you know, be happy in your life. And whatever happy looks like for you, if it's playing softball every Tuesday and drinking beer, then that's happy for you. Just don't freaking complain about anything and be happy. But if you're not happy about something, then freaking dig deep and do something about it. And we're in charge of our own emotions and create our own reality. Our you know, the perception, and it becomes our interpretation, our reality. And so perceive things like the world is helping you. You know, look, believe that everything in your life is happening to help you and get something out of that. And go be and do who you want to be and be what you want to do and do what you want to be and all those things, all those sayings. Just live life to the fullest, man. I think life is super short. And I don't have any huge wisdom for anybody other than just go out and do it and don't care about what people think, and be who you are, and you'll find your true purpose and really you find your happiness. And that's really about it.
I love the fact that you actually pulled in live life to the fullest. One of my famous quotes from Ernest Hemingway, which actually helped me create Live the Fuel. So
nice.
Interesting connection there right at the end. But that's great messaging, man. That's phenomenal. Thank you for that. So, well, again, guys, thanks for listening into another powerful, well, this time firefighter-themed, I'm loving it, episode. And again, guys, there's so much that's been discussed today. Please go back to livethefuel.com, check out his episode, all of his links, all the brands. Definitely check out some thirdalarmcoffee.com because I'm going to be. And give back. I think that's the big picture from today as well, is believe in yourself but also give back. So again, that's another Live the Fuel show, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm going to let you get back to your days. Again, we're here to help you live and just breathe and just fuel your life with health, business, and lifestyle. So I hope you got a lot out of that today. Rich, you're welcome back on the show anytime. Again, guys, thanks for listening in. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Keep living the fired up, epic life.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.